Now, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, drug-resistant superbugs are becoming more and more of a problem in the United States. A new report says 2.8 million people are infected each year, killing 35,000. That's a substantial increase from about 5 years ago. Superbugs are bacteria and fungi that have developed resistance to common drugs, making them hard to treat. Some in the medical community are expressing great concern with the new figures. The news seems scary. The CDC does say there are ways the public can help prevent the spread of infections. Dr. Matt McCarthy is an assistant professor of medicine at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City and a staff physician at New York Presbyterian Hospital. He's the author of three books, including Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic, which came out this spring. Dr. McCarthy, good to have you back on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We have this new announcement from the CDC with these numbers raising the alarm bell some. The head of the CDC said, stop talking about we're going to come to a post-antibiotic era. We may already be there. What do you think of these statements from the CDC?
Well, I have mixed emotions. On the one hand, I'm glad that the CDC is getting out there and making people aware of just how big of a problem this is. But I don't at all envision us going to a post-antibiotic era. One of the things I have focused my research and my writing on is all of the incredible things people are doing to address the rise of superbugs and how we're, working to discover new antibiotics all the time. I think one of the things that people don't recognize is that the soil beneath our feet has all of these really interesting chemicals, and some of them can be plucked out of the earth and turned into antibiotics. And so I think the CDC announcement underscores the need for us to keep digging, literally, for more antibiotics.
Tell us a little more about what superbugs are. What do we mean by that word?
Yeah, it's a controversial term, actually. A superbug is generally any microbe that is resistant to treatment. And traditionally, we've thought of drug-resistant bacteria, but we know that the problem is far bigger than that. It also includes treatment-resistant fungi, parasites, and some would even say viruses. And if you put all of that together, the scope of this problem is tremendous. The World Health Organization says that by the year 2050, that 10 million people will die worldwide every year from superbugs. And this would make it a more pressing disease, the condition than heart disease or cancer. And yet it doesn't get any of the airtime that these other conditions do. So I appreciate you shedding light on this topic that a lot of people could learn more about.
And a tricky thing about this is if I have a superbug and I have the symptoms of a particular disease, I don't know if it's a superbug or not, right? I don't know if it's antibiotic, say, resistant bacteria. My symptoms look the same whether or not it's treatable.
That's exactly right. You have no way of knowing. And that really puts the onus on the physicians to do a better job communicating with patients once we identify a superbug to explain to a patient, what does that mean? And a lot of times, I was in the emergency room this morning seeing a patient with a superbug, and the questions that come up are, why did this happen to me? What can be done about it? And am I contagious? Am I going to spread this to a loved one? And those are things that we on the medical side need to do a much better job of explaining to people. And I think one of the important things for listeners to know is that if you're listening to this wondering if you might be at risk for superbugs, it's useful to check in with your doctor to ask how your immune system is. If you have a fully normally functioning immune system, you're probably not at very high risk. I walk into rooms all the time that are filled with superbugs, and they don't affect me. And when I go home at night, I'm not worried that I'm going to transmit those to my young children. But there are people who are on medications that weaken their immune system, or they have medical conditions that impair their immune system, and that puts them at high risk. And many of the people that I see and that I treat don't recognize that they were at high risk.
And that makes this tricky. And you wrote in one piece about this, I might well have something like MRSA, this one particular superbug in my nostril right now, and it could well never affect my health at all.
That's exactly right. We have these ways of keeping ourselves healthy. Our skin is a very powerful barrier. I could have MRSA on my skin and it causes no problem. But then if I slice my arm and the skin breaks and that MRSA slips inside the skin and gets to my blood, we've got a big problem. And so I counsel people on what to do if they are at high risk. If you're somebody who's on high dose prednisone or you're getting chemotherapy, you don't want to walk into a moldy basement. You don't want to go into open water. There are ways of protecting yourself. I see people who have a cut on their leg and they have their cat or their dog lick the cut. And then the superbugs that are in the dog or cat's mouth get into the patient's bloodstream and wreak havoc. And that's one of the things I write about in my book, are all of these unusual ways that people can pick up superbugs.
Talking to Dr. Matt McCarthy. He's the author of the book Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic. He's with us talking about a new announcement from the CDC about the urgency of dealing with these antibiotic, antifungal, and so on resistant diseases. Dr. McCarthy, how do we get these resistant diseases? Is this just evolution in action?
Well, what happens is we have misused antibiotics. Every time we expose the microbes to these precious chemicals, they figure out ways to mutate and to evolve. And so starting in the 1960s, we started picking up that the bacteria were developing these enzymes that could chop up antibiotics. And they were developing things called efflux pumps, which are like microscopic vacuum cleaners that suck up antibiotics and spit them out. And what happened was a lot of these mutations were occurring at a time when the pharmaceutical industry started focusing more on treating other more profitable conditions like cancer and like heart attacks. And so we've been playing catch up ever since. And so when I say that we overuse antibiotics, I mean that on the large scale, meaning we use them in commercial agriculture and then meat producing animals. We give syphilis and tuberculosis drugs to orange groves to protect the crops. And that produces superbugs in the soil. And that's sort of on the large scale. And then on the small scale, doctors like me occasionally prescribe antibiotics to people who don't need them, people who have a virus or that just have a common cold. And that does everyone a disservice because it allows the bacteria to mutate after being exposed to antibiotics unnecessarily. So really the first step here, I think, in response to the CDC's message, is to educate people and to say, here's what's really going on, and more importantly, here's what we're doing about it.
Let's talk about health clinics and hospitals, where a lot of germs come in and a lot of people who might have compromised immune systems come in. That sounds like a front line in the battle against superbugs. What do we need to be doing?
Yes. So one of the things that comes up a lot is, how do we even talk to people about the places that do have superbugs? And, you know, we have to stress that we have containment protocols and protection measures that we use to prevent those superbugs from going from one patient to another. And sometimes those were called contact precautions. You know, I wear a gown when I go into most patients' rooms. I wear gloves. Sometimes I wear a face mask. And when we are on the front lines, we have to be very careful about what we wear and what we do. And, you know, sometimes that really freaks patients out. You know, they come into the emergency room with a fever, and next thing you know, there's this team of people walking in with moon suits, and they feel really stigmatized. And so we're trying to figure out exactly what to wear in a way that protects people, but that doesn't scare them.
That reminds me, we've got this announcement from the CDC highlighting the urgency of treating superbugs, and I'm hearing urgency from you, but I'm not hearing panic. And I could see people hearing stuff about this and kind of freaking out about it.
Yeah, that's the, I think, one of the big messages is that we do not need to panic. I think one of the common narratives right now is that we are running out of antibiotics. That's actually not true. If you look, the FDA approves new antibiotics all the time. There was an antibiotic approved by the FDA last week. One of the challenges here is figuring out how to use them. And that's what my research and what my writing focuses on, is that these pharmaceutical companies spend billions of dollars investing in these new drugs, and then they charge exorbitant amounts for their products because they need to make back their investment. And a lot of hospitals can't afford to carry these very expensive antibiotics. And so there becomes this situation where patients have superbugs where they're not necessarily being exposed to the best treatment or the newest treatment option simply because of cost. And so what I get very interested in is sort of, how do you treat these infections in a way that's both cost effective and ethical? And so I think you're right. There are people who are panicking right now, and I am not one of them. You know, I spend my life treating superbugs, and the overwhelming feeling I have on this whole topic is optimism, that this is something where we've identified a challenge, people are becoming aware of it, and we're going to meet this crisis head on, and we're going to figure out a way to treat these things.
We're talking about the rise of superbugs. These are diseases that evolve basically immunities to the medications meant to treat them. Dr. Matt McCarthy is with us. He's an assistant professor of medicine at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City, staff physician at New York Presbyterian Hospital, and author of the book Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about these so-called superbugs? Have you ever had one? Or do you have maybe a family member who has had to deal with that? Are you worried about being infected by one? Do you work in healthcare? What are you seeing and doing to prevent the spread of these kind of diseases? And what questions do you have about how things like antibiotics and antifungal and antiviral medications are used? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that shows superbug cases are becoming more numerous, more deadly. Dr. Matt McCarthy is our guest. He's an assistant professor of medicine at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City. His books include Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic. He says, yes, this is a real problem. No, don't panic. Call 800-642-1234 if you'd like to join the conversation. Are you worried about superbugs? Do you have a question for our guest about what they are, how they've come to be, how they're treated and prevented? If you work in healthcare, what have you seen on this issue in your own practice? Have you changed the way you prescribe things like antibiotics? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll bring on a caller now. Nancy is with us in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. The doctor made a very interesting comment considering that this is an election year, and I'll make a very interesting response to that comment. And that is that the doctor said that these new antibiotic drugs coming on the market are so expensive that hospitals cannot afford to buy them, to give them to the patients. But if I were an American living in Europe or visiting in Europe and got one of these super bugs, a hospital or a doctor there, because they don't pay as much for the drugs to begin with, I could be treated there, which is saying that an American life is hardly worth anything.
Nancy, thanks for the call. Now, I know there are price discrepancies, Dr. McCarthy, in the U.S. and other countries for many medications. Does that include things like the newer antibiotics you were talking about?
It does. And I'll tell you, I feel so strongly about the price discrepancy issue that it's the topic that I focused and I framed my book around. My book is about a new antibiotic that hit the market 5 years ago that the companies were charging $4,000 a dose for. And my hospital, one of the best in the world, said, we can't afford to use that. And I convinced the company to give me some of the drug for free to show how important it would be for us to actually have this drug in our stock shelves. And that was sort of the animating idea for all the work that I do, which is just making new antibiotics accessible to people. And I completely agree that this is going to be a political issue, because there are people out there who are saying, the pharmaceutical companies are losing interest in making new antibiotics. Well, good riddance. This should be something the federal government takes over, and that we should view antibiotics like a public good, like electricity or water. And that's something we're going to hear debated in 2020 and beyond, which is how far should our federal government go to ensure that there are treatments available for superbugs?
Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Kevin now in Keeler. Kevin, hello.
Good afternoon. Very interesting subject. First of all, I'd like to say I know someone who lost their vestibular system due to autotoxicity reaction to the drug gentamicin. That being said, and seeing all of these television commercials on during the nighttime evening programs with what I consider to be horrendous side effects, my question is, are we having to go down this road with all of these possibly terrible side effects to fight these bugs? Is that part of this new wave of drugs?
Kevin, thanks for the call. Dr. McCarthy, the side effects of antibiotics, new and old.
Yeah, Kevin, the opening scene of my book is a patient has a superbug, And the only antibiotic that will work is a drug called colistin. That's an antibiotic that we stopped using 20 years ago because it was so outrageously toxic, and it destroys the kidneys and other vital organs in the process. But we're increasingly bringing it back because it's one of the few drugs that we know work. And I'm on the ethics committee at my hospital, and I find myself facing these ethical dilemmas where I worry that these antibiotics that have tremendous side effects could actually be doing more harm to the patient than the infection itself. So I completely agree that the side effect issue is one that we are still trying to work out. Many of the newer antibiotics, the ones that are so fabulously expensive, are actually a little bit better tolerated. They have fewer side effects. So I think that Kevin hit on a really important point, which is that even when we come up with a drug that works, we got to make sure that it's actually safe.
Kevin, thanks for that call at 800-642-1233. Talking to Dr. Matt McCarthy, author of the book Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic, looking at a new announcement from the CDC about these antibiotic-resistant bacteria, other medicine-resistant diseases out there. They're becoming more common. They're killing more people over time, but Dr. McCarthy says there is hope out there. Jack joins us now in Eagle River. Jack, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. Enjoy the show. I have a question of the product of hand sanitizers having influence on superbugs. I just would like the doctor's comment.
Yeah, so this, Jack, this comes up a lot with us trying to figure out what do we use to keep our hands clean. It used to be antibacterial soaps, and then we found out that those were simply breeding superbugs. So the FDA came out a few years ago and said, you know what? Just use regular old soap and water or ethanol-based hand sanitizers. And so we now, I often find myself using just like what I did 30 years ago, soap and water, just to protect myself and to make sure that we don't breed any of this resistance. The other area where we're still figuring things out is decontaminating rooms. After a patient has a superbug infection, we're testing all different types of chemicals to ensure that the room is fully clean as soon as before a new patient comes in.
Thanks a lot for that call. Are our personal hygiene choices when it comes to hand washing significant enough to make a difference in the spread of various kinds of superbugs?
Well, you know, what comes up a lot is people say to me, you know, what can I do? Because this is such a global problem. It's sometimes compared to things like climate change, where people feel like if other countries aren't pulling their weight, what's the point in a doctor, you know, being more stingy, prescribing antibiotics, or a patient not taking them unless they need them? And I think that it really comes down to the fact that we as Americans need to set the example for what should be done. You know, you can go to Mexico and buy antibiotics over the counter without a doctor's prescription. That's not the way we want things to be. And we want to show what the right way to do things is so that we're all on the same page. And I think if we can all act together, it will certainly curb the rise of superbugs. And that's going to be the goal for the next generation.
Let's bring on another caller now. Sarah is with us calling from Milwaukee. Sarah, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to call in. Now, this is about viruses, I understand. But my mother recently contracted West Nile encephalitis this last year from a mosquito or a tick. And I just wanted to talk about a little bit how these diseases are actually heading up north, which we never thought would be an issue, and how to maybe prevent some of these.
Sarah, thanks for the call. Dr. McCarthy, I don't know if West Nile has an antiviral treatment or not to become a super bug, but what do you know about the geographic spread there?
Well, Sarah, I'm sorry to hear about your mom. So West Nile is transmitted by a mosquito. And what we're finding is that both mosquitoes and ticks are changing their migratory patterns, and they're changing the diseases that they carry with them. The safest thing that you can do is during the summer months is to be very careful about going to places that are endemic with mosquitoes or doing tick checks after you go outside for the beach or going, you know, playing in the summer months. Things like Lyme disease, you have to have the tick on you for at least 24 hours for it to transmit Lyme. So if you check yourself every day, you're able to protect yourself. Things like West Nile don't really have a reliable treatment for them. You know, it is a virus, as she mentioned, and the goal right now is really preventative rather than treatment. And it can often be very hard to even make the diagnosis. We see West Nile a good amount here in New York, but, you know, other parts of the country, it's very rare. So a big part of it is just education about prevention.
Sarah, thanks a lot for sharing your mom's story there. Dr. McCarthy, in our last few moments, you have hope on the horizon here when it comes to superbugs.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the coolest part of this whole story is that we're now using artificial intelligence to search through just tons and tons of dirt. And the other place we're starting to look is the bottom of the ocean. And what we're doing is we're looking for chemicals that resemble the antibiotics that we know and use right now, but that are slightly different. And what we're figuring out are ways to very quickly sift through all of this material to find the most promising chemicals. And then from there, we start doing tests in test tubes and in animals and then healthy human volunteers. And so I can tell you that most of my conversations with people about superbugs are actually filled with hope and optimism. It's people who've just discovered a new antibiotic or who have just figured out a way to cure someone. And it's not a doomsday scenario from where I stand. You know, every single day I go into the emergency room and I help people to understand how they may have contracted an infection. And I think the best part of this is getting to, you know, see the human side of these conditions.
Dr. McCarthy, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Dr. Matt McCarthy. His latest book is Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic. We talked with him about a new CDC report showing that superbugs are infecting and killing more people in the United States.